Amen. Let's open with prayer this morning. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for your resurrection, what we get to celebrate today, Lord. And we look to you, Lord, for all that you've done. You died on the cross. You lived a sinless, perfect life. Then you did that all for us, Lord. So we thank you that we get to take opportunities like this to worship you for it, to thank you for it, and to give our lives for you, Jesus. And we ask that you would anoint the word that it goes forth this morning and anoint our eyes and ears, our hearts to receive the implanted word. Lord, we just want what you want. And we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, who's excited for Easter? Yes, man. I am excited. Just been pumped up. We've been preparing for this day. We love to celebrate every day, but this is a good reason to celebrate even more. Amen? Well, we're continuing our series this morning on questions for Christians. And these are questions that a Christian could be asked, or there might be questions that you might want to ask a Christian if you are not one yet. And today we're looking at that there is one thing that everyone is searching for, and that is truth. That is truth. Whether people admit it or not, whether they accept it or not, whether they look for it in the wrong places, we inherently want to know the truth, and we don't like when we don't know it. Have you ever been in one of those moments where you realize that you've been lied to? And that feeling of, how dare you? How dare you not tell me the truth? Because we all want to know it. We were made to want the truth, and we were made to search for it. That's why we generally expect it. And even those who choose to believe a lie will stand on a mistruth, often because of the fear to know actual truth and what that might mean if they are wrong. Because get this, truth is unbiased to belief and feeling. Did we come for the truth this morning? Well, I release you to amen me as much as you want. Truly. But truth is unbiased to belief and feeling, even though we live in a culture that bases a lot of things on what we choose to believe or what we feel. That doesn't make them true. You know, my five-year-old daughter the other day was talking to her brother about her birthday, which was recently, and she stated that on that day, she can do anything she wants. Anything. And I admit she is a bit of a princess. But that statement is still not true. And you can imagine to her surprise when I told her, not anything. Not anything. You still have to listen to your mom and dad and what they say. And I'm not sure where she got that idea, and I won't attempt to implement any suspects because I probably would be guilty. But get this, we can often treat our relationship with God like that. We get something in our head for one reason or another, and we decide that that is true. Or we want it to be true so badly that we act like it. But it doesn't always line up with what our Father says is true. And he openly shares to all who will believe. And we either take that correction and that guidance, or we live a part of our lives based on a lie that we want to be true. There are voices all around us telling us one thing or another. But for the person that doesn't know the Lord, get this, they don't know the voice of truth. They don't know the Father's voice speaking. That God speaks through his word. He speaks through his Holy Spirit. And he never lies. And that you can trust him. Because he created everything on a basis of truth. And the world is searching for that truth. And we need to be ready to answer. Amen? Let's read in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 18. The book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. And we're going to read that passage because we like this scripture here. The book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. This is what it says. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. We find this question in our main passage where Pilate asks, "What is truth?" What is truth? And that's the main idea for today. It's the same question we are being asked today, a question that we have to decide our answer as well. And it's an interesting concept. Think for a moment, to decide whether we believe what is true or not. I want you to think about that for just a moment. You get to decide whether you get to believe what is true or not. That is your decision. And can you imagine for a moment, if my daughter acted on the belief that she can do anything? I sure can. There would be sparkles and candy everywhere. But I'll tell you why we struggle with this thought of believing what is true. Because we are accountable to whatever we hold as true. And that's why we see crazy people with crazy beliefs, get this, acting crazy. They are accountable to what they believe. You know, I heard a funny story recently where someone got pulled over. And the officer asked for the driver's license, and the person evidently did not need one because they identified themselves to be a cat. And I love the officer's answer because he was pretty quick on his feet. And he offered to take them then to the shelter and proceeded to explain the law in that area required stray animals to be fixed. And that's a lot more expensive than a speeding ticket. They were suddenly faced with the truth of their situation, which was different than what they believed. We are accountable to what we hold as true, but we are also held accountable to what is actually true. And that's the part that most people struggle with. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 says this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It is imperative in this life that we find what is true, that we find it. And that word truth in our passage is a Greek word, aletheia. If you'll notice, some of you that know me and my family, that's my daughter's name. It's the word aletheia, or another way to say it is aletheia, a variance of it. As a young man, I was studying, and I found that word to just be very beautiful in its meaning and the way it sounded, so my wife was kind enough to let us name our daughter that. But if you know my daughter, her middle name is Grace, and that's because God always pairs truth with grace. But that word means the reality of what is lying at the base. The reality lying at the base, or the essence of the matter. And it's in contrast to someone twisting and perverting actual truth. It is to look past all the feelings and the beliefs, agendas, and everything else, and to find out what is just true. What is the fact with nothing else added? And that's what we need to be able to do and explain as Christians. The plain and simple truth. Because that's not only what God gives us, but it's actually what people are searching for. When we share the story of Jesus, remember that they were made for that story. They were made for it. Their spirit is in search of it. Whether they respond in the way we want them to or not, they were made to hear that story. So don't be afraid to share Jesus. They are looking for it. And we need to sort through all the garbage around us. And even the things that get this, sometimes we want to add to salvation in order to know the simple truth. And then we base our lives on that truth alone. And in order to do that, we have to look at the other voices around us. We have to know what they're saying so that we can separate those from what is true. And the first voice I want to look at this morning is the voice of the world around us. The world is asking what is true, but they're also telling us what is true. There are a million voices telling us what to believe. There are a billion opinions of what to believe. Everyone in this room has an opinion. If you don't believe, ask your spouse. But what is true? Because all these opinions differ. They can't be all right. In our story, the first voice that is heard is the governing officials, the people in charge of everything. And those in charge will always have their own truth, like a politician. It might change according to what they need at any moment, but they will always flaunt their agenda as truth. Why do they do this? Because people want the truth. And I'm thankful we have Christians, even in our church, that have delved into politics, because we need a voice of truth in that area. And we should pray for them, because that's a hard area to stand for what is true. For Pilate, a politician, his God was supposed to be Caesar. Caesar represented the highest power, provision, safety, stability, knowledge, progress, even peace. Much like a government wants to be now. And not all of that is bad. So it comes from an honest desire and makes things better and to help people. But there will always be those voices in your life that want to tell you the pursuit of those other things is the highest good and end. That is truth. And to go after it at all costs. They want you to believe in good things instead of truth. Just good instead of God. God defines what is good. He defines what is truth. And that's a common voice and tactic of the world to get us focused on all that is going on around us instead of what is true. For Pilate, truth was in front of him. He was given the opportunity to see it, to know it, to believe it, and he didn't take it. In our culture, we are taught to believe what the loudest voice is, or what the news tells us to believe, or whatever the path of least resistance is right. That feelings or imagination trump truth. But we must search for truth and remain standing on that truth at all costs. There's a Christian athlete in the news right now that was cut for a biblical stance on sexuality. Church, do you believe the Bible enough to lose your job over it? Are you grounded on that much truth? Do you have a relationship with Jesus that's enough to want other people to know him when it costs you? Pilate had an opportunity to stand for truth, and he chose the pressure of everyone and everything around him instead. Even, get this, with the literal Jesus in front of him, he couldn't choose truth. I want you to think about that, because with Jesus in front of you, if he was standing here next to me, we would all want to say, I would choose truth every time. That's not always the case. You have to know truth and stand in it. Watch this in verse 29. Pilate is asking an honest question. Jesus is brought before him and he doesn't know what to think or believe. So he asks, what accusation do you bring against this man? He was trying to get at the truth, but the other governing officials around him say, if he weren't an evildoer, we would have not have delivered him up to you. Because get this, the world around us will take who Jesus is and what he stands for and try to make that a bad thing. Like Jesus is the bad guy. And I want to point out that they will do this before you get a chance to hear from Jesus. Before Pilate got a chance to hear from Jesus, they were already there. This is a bad guy. We need to put him to death. The voices around you want to get your attention off of Jesus. If you notice, every voice around you wants to avoid Jesus because he's at the base. He is at the truth of everything. The voice of Rome to Pilate gave every reason not to find the truth. It would cost Pilate his job, his authority, his lifestyle, probably his life. The voice of religion to Pilate and those leaders that were supposed to be good were the very voices pressing to kill the message of Jesus. Note in verse 28 that the religious leaders wouldn't follow Jesus into the next area because of what they would do to them ceremonially, making them unclean according to their laws. They had placed their religion over truth. And we have to be careful of that. They replaced the possibility of relationship with Jesus and just accepted their religion. Get this, they didn't only want to hide the truth, they were trying to kill it. And that's what empty religion or a competing world wants. Religion without relationship kills. It leads to death. And those voices will place the reason for doing something above the truth of it. And they knew Jesus had actually done no wrong, but made up and twisted things to get Pilate to believe what they wanted him to believe. The world will twist everything. And if you're not grounded on what is true, you will be twisted too. Church, not all religion is bad, but get this. Christian religion should only ever be a framework that gets you closer to Jesus. When it becomes anything else, it becomes against Jesus. Pilate most likely looked around for help in this moment, like we all probably would. If you read the rest of the story in the other Gospels, he was struggling with what to do. Pilate's wife in Matthew 27:19 had even had a dream about Jesus and told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with this just man." He was probably asking his advisors as well. He even tried to send Jesus to King Herod, who governed the Jews, so he wouldn't have to deal with Jesus and this decision. And so many times we do that. We don't want to deal with the truth of Jesus, so we avoid it. Just like Pilate. But just like Pilate, we are faced with that decision. If this is true, then what am I going to do about it? He sought the voices of friends. He heard the voice of religious leaders. He heard the voice of Rome breathing down his neck saying, "Handle this right before they cause an uprising." And I'm sure he had his own voice inside struggling with what to do, going back and forth. Sometimes we do that. Do I follow what Jesus wants or do I not? Do I do this thing that Jesus wants, even though everyone is telling me to do something else? The world is telling me that this doesn't even make sense. Do I follow what Jesus wants? We encounter that on a small level all the time. If you're not a Christian, it's, do I believe this and change my life accordingly? If you are a Christian, it's, do I believe this in every moment and change my life accordingly? The world is asking, what is truth? And we have to be ready to give them an answer whether they like it or not. And our answer has to be both in word and in deed, with what we say and we want, well, and what we do. We don't live like we're perfect, but we live like we've been saved. Have you been saved this morning, church? The next voice I want to look at is the voice of Jesus. Who likes that voice? Amen. So Pilate asks the question, what is truth? Why does he ask this? Because Jesus had already given him an answer. And Pilate was questioning Jesus' previous statement. Watch this. Pilate first asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And I love this, because while Pilate was interrogating Jesus, Jesus was interrogating Pilate. And I want you to know that while you are asking God questions, he is already searching your heart and your mind for what he's going to do in you and what you actually need to have happen. And people can miss this. Jesus was probing Pilate to see how serious he was in finding the truth. And he does that when you ask a question. He's searching your heart to see how serious you want to know. And are you ready for the truth that he's going to give you? And that's why he asks if Pilate is wanting to know for himself, or is it just what other people want him to ask? And Jesus does this with us. Jeremiah 17:9-10, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways." Psalm 139:1-2, "Declare that God knows our thoughts from afar and examines the person." Romans 8:27 assures us that God searches the hearts, knowing the intent of the Spirit. Did you know that God knows what you intended to do? He knows your intention. So Jesus is giving Pilate the opportunity to actually open up, to actually know him in a moment. It's my personal belief that Pilate could have chosen truth in this moment. It doesn't say that, but I believe Jesus came for everybody. And that God is sovereign enough to make sure Jesus died on the cross, even if Pilate decided that he wanted truth. But Pilate is instead offended by this. Have you ever known people to be offended by the truth? I'm sure none of us here. But he gives this answer basically of, I'm not a Jew. Why should I care? I'm reading into that text a little bit. That's kind of what it means. But this is an answer you'll sometimes get when sharing Jesus with people. And you need to answer them truthfully, telling them who Jesus is. Belief is on them. Sharing is on us. Pilate knows there's something to this Jesus, but he's not willing to take the chance of knowing him for himself. He had heard of the miracles. He's probably heard of some of the teaching already. But the way this response is written is negative. If you read it in the Greek, it's a negative response. As he insists on only wanting to figure out the puzzle of why Jesus is there. People do this all the time. They can't factually deny the existence of Jesus. You cannot factually do that if you're honest. And they can't even factually deny that he still does miracles. That is undeniable if you're being honest. But what they can deny is the truth. Because the truth requires accountability. And we see this in many people's responses to Jesus. They don't mind finding out a little bit about Jesus and his claims, but they don't want to be associated with anything having to do with him. These are often people that say, like Pilate, that Jesus was a good person. We can probably learn from some of his teachings. But that is not being in relationship with Jesus. Jesus offers relationship because it's relationship with him that saves you. You could know a lot about Jesus, but until you actually know him and give your life to him, you are not saved. That's not often preached in a church, but church, we love the truth and we need to know it. Because I don't want anyone in this room or anyone that ever comes to our church get to heaven one day and say, hey, I went to church. That does not matter if you don't know Jesus. Know Jesus today. Jesus offers us relationship. He's offering salvation. And Jesus answers Pilate then with this, my kingdom is not of this world. Get this, he did not deny that he was a king. You'll hear people complain about that, saying Jesus never said that he was a king. Right here, he has a kingdom, he is a king. And he said that to Pilate, that he was a king. It's just that Pilate could not see or be a part of his kingdom. And he puts it into a language that Pilate is familiar with, soldiers and armies that fight for their king. And in the kingdom of God, we fight in a different way, with different weapons and different authorities. And as you can imagine, Pilate is confused in this moment. So he asks again, you are a king then. You are a king then. And Jesus answers in verse 37, I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world that I should bear witness of the truth. The reason Jesus came was to give us truth. And Pilate was facing the truth. And it infers that Jesus wasn't just born, but that he came into the world first being outside of it because his kingdom is not of this world. And he's telling this to Pilate to let him know that it's for this moment that he came. And Pilate could have taken that in general, but I also believe, my personal belief, is that Jesus meant it to be personal for Pilate because Jesus also came for Pilate. Just like he came for the whole world, John 3:16, you know that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus also comes for you. Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And Jesus tells Pilate at the end of verse 37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. If Pilate really wanted to know the truth, he would have given his undivided attention. Church, do we give our undivided attention to the Lord? Do we want to know the fullness of truth? Get this, Jesus was more interested in appealing to Pilate than defending himself. Jesus' heart was focused on reaching the heart of the person he addressed. His appeal to Pilate wasn't for freedom or mercy. It was for recognition of the truth. Greater than the situation you are in or will ever be in is your recognition of the truth in your life. Jesus gave Pilate the opportunity to recognize and respond to truth. And he does that all the time with all of us. Yes, first to salvation, Jesus is calling you to be saved and forgiven of your sins, to turn away from living a life against him and give your life to him unto eternal life. But he's also calling all the time in all the little decisions, in all the little moments to follow him and stand for what is true. Salvation is not just a one-time event where a ticket is punched. It is a lifetime and lifestyle of following Jesus. And the grace of Jesus coming and dying for us on the cross so we wouldn't have to. Rising again the third day so we could as well. Defeating death and the grave gives us the opportunity to know what is truth. Jesus describes himself as truth. It is him at the base of everything you are looking for. Your reason for living, your purpose on earth, why you were created like you are. He is knocking on your door. And the third voice this morning that we're going to look at is yours. Your own voice. What are you going to say in response to the world around you asking with a million things to believe in and focus on? And then in response to the voice of Jesus telling you that there is truth, that he is the king and is welcoming you to know him and come into his kingdom. Pilate tried to get out of the decision he was faced with. In verses 39 and 40, he tries to let the world choose by making the option clear and easy. He says, you can choose Jesus, who apparently hasn't really done anything wrong, or this guy Barabbas, who has murdered people. But get this. The world around you will never point toward Jesus. They would rather the worst of things and even the worst of people than having to believe and admit that Jesus is the one and only way to heaven. God will use hard decisions in our lives to put us into deciding moments like this so that we will decide to follow truth. Later on, Pilate even tries to say that he washes his hands of this guilt. But even if we try to stay neutral, the world will force us to decide because we either have to stand with what Jesus says is true or with what the world says is true. If you haven't noticed lately, the world around us is pressing that decision a lot. I'll tell you, give up to Jesus. Just stand with him. We encounter opportunities to know and choose truth all the time. And in John 8:32, it says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Church, God wants you to be free today. And maybe you're hearing a lot of voices about who you are, or what you are, or aren't capable of. And that you're not valuable or worth anything, that you have no future or you're too far gone or you should have no hope. And those are lies. Sometimes you have to choose to single out that one voice of truth. The voice of Jesus was the only voice in the room of Pilate speaking truth. And sometimes your life will be like that. Lock on to his voice. Because he's telling you, your life is worth living. That he died for your life, it is worth saving. That like Jeremiah 29:11, he does give both hope and a future. That he did come to take away your sin, renew your past, and give you purpose. And you hold on to that voice, that one voice of truth. And Jesus will lead you not only to where you need to be, but into his kingdom and into his purpose for your life. John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Will you stand across this place this morning as the worship and the prayer team comes? If you are here this morning and you do not yet know Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life to him to receive forgiveness of sins, a purpose, and eternal life, and that you're willing to give your life to him, then come and do that right now. He is worth every second of your life. But also, if you need to respond to the voice of truth this morning, from things that are untrue in your life or into things that are true, that Jesus is speaking over you to hear his voice, he is going after you this morning, that he is your healer, your provider, your restorer, your defender, your mender. He is everything that you need. He is truth this morning. And he wants you to know him. It's not just a thing, it's a person. Truth is the person of Jesus. Let's worship him this morning for such. If you need him to speak into your life, then come forward right now. Pray with someone and let him speak. And for the rest of us, let's take a moment and worship him that he brought us truth. Is he worthy of that this morning, church? Let's go in. If you need prayer, come to the front and pray. Let's worship. The aisles are clear. The front is clear. Let's worship him like he deserves this morning.